This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
As you heard in the news, Navy poised to pull the upset over Army in Landover, Maryland today. 28-13, Army the ball midway through the fourth quarter. Quick update, FCS. I know there's a lot of kids that go to South Dakota State, North Dakota State in these parts, and they're all winning. Invermillion, late four, South Dakota leading UC Davis 35-21, FCS quarterfinals. North Dakota State leading Mercer in the fourth, 24-7 in Fargo. It's a final in Brookings. South Dakota State rolls over Incarnate Word 55-14 on Friday. Montana State beat Idaho 52-19. Closer to home, D2 playoffs, number one overall, Valdosta State beat Minnesota State 35-21. D3 quarterfinals in Pennsylvania. Susquehanna beat Bethel by a score of 24-21. Another big story in sports that broke is there may be a suitor for the Minnesota Twins. And Dan Hayes joins us from The Athletic. Dan, it's been a while. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and it sounds as though that part owners of the Phoenix Suns, billionaires in their own right, may be interested in acquiring the Twins.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, at this point, a billionaire is pretty much required because I think, you know, it's going to probably cost them about 1.5 to 1, somewhere in that range, 1.4 to 1.7 range. Justin Ishbia is the control partner of this group. His brother Matt is the control partner of the Phoenix Suns, and he is also a minority owner of the Phoenix Suns. Along with them, they also own the Phoenix Mercury, and they also own and Justin owns a minority stake in the Nashville soccer club as well from MLS. So, you know, it's actually a really interesting name. This is a family that's been looking to get into baseball for a while. I know the Arizona Diamondbacks, they wanted a minority stake there. There was talk about potentially the Chicago White Sox, and the White Sox, you know, maybe up for sale, but maybe not. That might have just been Jerry Reinsdorf bluffing. But, you know, the Twins definitely are up for sale, and they're an attractive club for people outside looking in to get into. Yesterday, Justin Ishbia's people confirmed what we'd been tracking for most of the week, and that's that he's interested. And, you know, honestly, I think that's a a good thing for Twins fans to hear. His brother bought the Phoenix Suns in 2022 and got approved 3 months later, and 3 days after he got approved, he's the one that said, let's do the Kevin Durant trade. You know, it's been sort of on hold the entire time, and he green-lighted it. And Phoenix Suns have a $216 million payroll, and I believe that's the highest in the NBA. So the idea with someone with big pockets is coming would be probably a world that Twins fans are not really accustomed to.
Yeah, and considering what the big names are signing for, the latest contract, Juan Soto and the New York Mets, good player. Is he a top five guy in the big leagues? Maybe a top 10 guy. I think a lot of people would agree on that. $765 million, the price of pitching, et cetera. I mean, it's crazy the money being given to the elite players.
Yeah, no, I would say Juan Soto is absolutely a top five, though. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's 26 now. He's already got 200 home runs. He's been to the World Series a couple times, won one. The fact that he's 26 now, you know, he's got a long career left ahead of him. This is not the kind of money that you'll see often just because, look, Aaron Judge was farther down the road. He was older when he signed his deal a couple years ago. That was $360 million. Shohei Ohtani is another one of those guys that's sort of a outlier, like the global star, and that was why his money was the way it was. And you know, it's funny with the way the deferred contracts go versus what paid up front. You know, Soto's is going to be the biggest for a while, I think. We were talking about this the other day. Who will come along and start their career early enough and to hit free agency and have a shot? Soto is going to be sort of the exception to the rule, but absolutely contracts are significantly out there. You need someone with bigger, you know, pocketbooks, and so this is an intriguing name without question. But, you know, I think I tweeted something about it yesterday, just to caution it with a grain of salt. You know, when I covered the Padres when they were up for sale in 2009 at the time, Thomas Toll, who was a big producer in the Batman movies that made, you know, a ton of money for Warner Brothers, wanted to buy the team, and he got Tony Gwynn on board and his group, and, you know, he never figured into the picture at all. So, you know, wanting to buy a team and then actually executing it, totally different worlds. But at the same time, I mean, it's just cool. I think this is a chance for Twins fans to dream because this team doesn't need a lot of investment right now. I mean, I feel like if this team had 25 more million more to spend, you know, that would put them right there in good contention. Maybe, you know, they don't have the stars per se that the Yankees do, but there's a lot of talent on this team right now, and it does not take a lot. Unfortunately, I think this ownership search will probably still take. It wouldn't be shocking to me if somebody brand new was in place by opening day, but of course, at that point, you've missed the off season. So I don't know how much impact he'll have on the 2025 season, but certainly bodes well for the future.
Dan Hayes joining us from The Athletic. He covers the Twins and joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. And it really was, and I think caught a lot of people by surprise, when the Poled family made that announcement that they were pursuing a sale of the club. I mean, the other words used, but to sum it up, pursuing a sale. It still, in a way, is a bit surprising.
Well, yeah, and look, I know Joe Pollad went into this wanting to do this for a long time, and there's a lot of theories as to why. I know there's some the family's tied up in commercial real estate, but that's a lot of that's speculation. And we know the commercial real estate market is not great when you see all these buildings half empty in major cities and stuff like that. So, you know, it's possible that's part of what happened. I don't know if that's even truly the case as far as what the motivation is. But, I mean, look, this was the third longest ownership group in Major League Baseball right now. There are only two teams that have had owners in place for longer. As talking to some people involved with the sale process, usually families want to move on after a while. You have the family like the Steinbrenners where there's a couple. Would they go to a third generation? You look around sports, and the Mara family in New York is one of that has a third generation running it. But it doesn't usually pass along. And sometimes families have other interests. Maybe not everybody was interested in continuing to own a baseball team. So I don't, we still really don't have a clear picture as to what the motivation is. But, it's also been 40 years, and they stand to make a really nice profit because they bought this team for $44 million. And, if they were able to get $1.5 billion, that's a nice return on investment. Obviously, a lot of money goes into it over time. But just depends if the right suitor comes along and is willing to pay the right price. And then Major League Baseball also has to approve that owner. I would think, based on the track record of this family, the Ishbias, owning the Suns already, Justin Ishbia has been, a major donor at his two alma maters, Vanderbilt and Michigan State, and has a healthy track record running teams. I would think he'd be, somebody to be approved, a prime candidate to be approved. I think baseball would love to have another guy coming in and wanting to throw some money around. And I know the Twins and their fans would be. And honestly, this is kind of a perfect scenario if you got that, because this is a team that has shown that fans do attend. They've drawn 3 million fans three times since 1961. And, there's only a certain amount of teams that have ever drawn 3 million. So the appetite is there. And I think, if you threw 20, 30 million at a team that already had Carlos Correa, Byron Buxton, Royce Lewis, Pablo Lopez, the bullpen they have, man, that would be a lot of fun to see what could happen. So I think this fan base is hungry, and it's not like it's a division where you have to spend a ton of money. Look at the Cleveland Guardians are under $100 million. I think the second highest payroll in the division this year will be the Royals, and they're around $115 million. You don't really have to spend to compete here, and you have a shot very often. Like, the Twins have been in the playoffs four times in the last 8 years and have won the division 3-6. So, you've got a good shot. You got a great stadium. You have a hungry fan base. I think it's really a good position to be in, and it's a strong team to sell, frankly, just because of those factors.
Yeah, you brought up Target Field being one of the positives, the large territory. Now, granted, it isn't the largest population base in Major League Baseball, but nevertheless, the club's been around. There is a tradition, and of course, Target Field. The cupboard isn't bare. There is talent. There is some young talent there. Maybe the biggest negative, Dan, and this is true for a lot of clubs, is the television money situation. And that is a gigantic unknown for many of the clubs.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, look at it, I thought the same thing. I've been chasing this down for 2 years. You hear a lot of people in the industry say the money's there. I think there's a lot of optimism that baseball is going to get together a lot of its teams and package them together and get, a big payday for teams. Scott Boras, talking to him about it at the GM meetings as far back as last year, November 2023, and again this year. Dave St. Peter, he's bullish on the future of TV rights for baseball. And I think when you hear the president or outgoing president of a team that is in the thick of things with this being optimistic about the future of it, I think that says a whole lot. But, when you look at it, it's funny because the Phoenix Suns just a year ago were having the same kind of issues with their regional TV that the Twins were, and they opted to go free on over the air in market. I believe they're on their ABC affiliate in Phoenix for free to fans. So I just don't know how much it's going to impact it. Talking to people who are in the know on selling the team, they did not. And this is people involved in the actual sale, not the Twins themselves, but the brokers. they thought that the TV situation would really not impact this, and baseball has had steady revenues. So it's been quiet as far as us hearing names. This is the first name, and I know that's probably made people think, oh, nothing's going on, but let's be honest. You don't really hear the names all that often until a couple months in. And we right now are just 2 months into the process. I was told back in October that we would start to see things pick up around the start of the new year. So that's sort of what I'm thinking. And the fact that the first name popped out now, and it's such an attractive name for Twins fans, that's probably a good sign. And I would think would indicate there will be at least a healthy market to attract buyers.
And by the way, unrelated to the Twins, the whole Timberwolves ownership situation is still in flux, and there is that. But, you know, certainly the Twins ownership situation, I know you'll continue to follow it. Dan, thanks for the update on that. I know it's been quiet as far as player movement goes. There was a Rule 5 player selected at the winter meetings, but that is not unexpected with the ownership situation, that there just haven't been a lot of roster moves.
Yeah, no. In fact, it's led to people outside the market speculating that the Twins might try to ship off a bunch of guys, and even the there had been New York speculation in particular from the New York Post, which frankly is one of those places that when they write something, you pay attention to it because Joel Sherman, and he's a good writer, but he had speculated a couple times that either the Yankees or the Mets, whoever lost out on Juan Soto, should look into Carlos Correa. And, so wrote about that a couple times this week, but that's not going to happen. I just don't see them trading their best player unless it's a trade that could improve their chances of winning next year. And I don't know what that would look like, to be honest. I don't know how you can trade your best player and get the other team to not only acquire the contract, which is 4 years and $136 million remaining. They have to go out and acquire that contract in whole because the Twins don't want to eat any of that money. And then get a player back that helps them too. And I just don't see that really being an option out there. I mean, I guess it's possible if a team is super desperate, but I don't know that they would be for a guy that has had plantar fasciitis each of the last 2 years. There's so many kind of factors in this that say this isn't happening, you know, along with the fact that basically everybody I talked to at the winter meetings with the Twins said there's not a world in which they could see it happening. So it's fun to kind of talk about and write about, but at the same time, it doesn't sound like it's an option at all.
Yeah, seems like stand pat until new owners take over and let them make some of the big decisions. Hey, Dan, always great. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Dan Hayes from The Athletic. Covers the Twins and the very latest on the Twins ownership saga. It looks like things are really going to heat up early in the new year. And could a deal be done by opening day? Maybe. It is 5:23 here at News Talk. 830-WCCO. Once again, a great chat with Dan Hayes of The Athletic on the Twins ownership situation. It's been quiet on the player movement front. Not surprising, considering the fact that the Poled family is exploring a sale. And now we've had the first name emerge. Will it be the last to emerge in the coming weeks? It certainly doesn't sound like it. And if you missed part of that, it will be available at WCCORadio.com. A little bit later on, we'll have the podcast for you. Quick update on the scores. Army-Navy, a big annual game, kind of stands alone as the FBS season winds down and we get ready for bowl season and the college football playoff. Navy pulling the upset, 8-3 Navy, 31, number 22, and 11-1 Army, 13, 31-13 Navy. They're going to win it under two to go in Landover, Maryland. Meanwhile, FCS playoffs today. late in the fourth, North Dakota State will win. They're leading Mercer in Fargo 24-7. Meanwhile, South Dakota State blew out Incarnate Word 55-14 outdoors in Brookings. In the Dome in Vermilion, South Dakota beat UC Davis 35-21. And on Friday, Montana State beat Idaho 52-19. So Montana State, South Dakota State, and North Dakota State will be your final four in FCS. Meanwhile, D2 playoffs today. Valdosta State beat Minnesota State 35-21 in the semifinals down in Georgia. The Mavericks' magical run comes to an end today. Meanwhile, Susquehanna scored late, beat Bethel 24-21 in the D3 quarterfinals, and the Royals' run ends in the quarterfinals there. They had won three in a row. They had to win opening weekend. And then weekend number two, they went to Wartburg and won in the round of 16. They get beat today in the quarterfinals. Susquehanna, of course, ousted St. John's and Collegeville a week ago. But congrats to Minnesota State and Bethel on fine season. So you're up to date on college football. We'll talk a little bit more about the D3 playoffs from Pat Coleman as they head for the semifinals. Then Jez Myers will join us. We'll talk Wild hockey. They played a rare Saturday matinee in St. Paul, beat the Flyers today 4-1, erasing the memories of that ugly 7-1 loss to the Oilers to open the homestand. Jez Myers before we say goodbye here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Steve Thompson, Lindsey Brown, our producer, and it has been a busy show indeed. And Pat Coleman, D3Football.com, scheduled to join us momentarily. Get us up to date on where D3 stands. We know Bethel was eliminated today as they head for the semifinals. And in the semifinals in D2 once again, Valdosta State beat Minnesota State 35-21. So the Mavericks and the Royals season comes to an end today. The Wild get a win on home ice, beating Philadelphia 4-1 in a matinee at the Xcel Energy Center. And we'll get a rundown of that from Jez Myers. And then, oh, by the way, the Vikes and Bears, they play on Monday night. And the Vikes are just about 100% healthy. Stephon Gilmore, cornerback, with a hamstring, questionable. Everybody else should be good to go in that game with the Bears on Monday Night Football at U.S. Bank Stadium. And the Vikes right now, touchdown favorites. They are favored by 7, the over-under 43.5. Bears 4-9, Vikes 11-2, trying to keep pace with the Lions. By the way, Bills play the Lions at Ford Field in that 3:25 window on CBS. And where's Green Bay? Green Bay in Seattle, Sunday Night Football. Intriguing matchup there, Green Bay in Seattle. By the way, the Vikes go to Seattle next week. All right, let's bring in Pat Coleman, D3Football.com. And Pat, top story in these parts. Bethel had the lead late. Susquehanna came back and eliminated them.
Yes, they did. And that was the best game of the day for sure. You know, an instance in which Bethel had the lead for as much of the game as you possibly could. And then, you know, had one final shot at the end. How much have you guys talked about this on the air already tonight?
Yeah, we've talked about, we did get a report from Sports Information Director Austin Legess about an hour ago on the game, but Bethel had a great opportunity and came up just short.
Yeah, they did. Great season for Bethel. You know, interesting to see Susquehanna over the course of the last couple of weeks making their first deep run into the playoffs and eliminating both of the teams from the MIAC. You know, I don't think there's anything that those guys can hang their heads about down in Arden Hills. Just a fantastic season for them. Great days today for Kidder and for Niewald, and Kidder with an almost touchdown on the last play of the game as well. Then we'd be talking about a different story if that had hung on.
Yeah, and for people that didn't hear the report about an hour ago, let's talk about that final sequence, Pat, and what you saw.
Yeah, and of course, so I'm watching on screen. So I am watching this from Salisbury, where Mount Union defeated Salisbury. Purple Raiders go back to the national semifinals. But, you know, Bethel, Susquehanna left Bethel some time, which they did not do last week against St. John's. They left Bethel some time to work with, and they did get down to the 25-yard line with 5.5 seconds left. Had a option to attempt a 42-yard field goal that would have tied the game. Instead, they go for the end zone. Cooper Drews does find Kidder there. Kidder makes the catch, but it's a pretty blatant hold if you go back and look at it on replay. So they throw the flag. They do call the hold, and that's basically how the game ends. A heartbreaker for Bethel, but you know, a call that when you look at it, you know, people will talk about whether you what calls you make on a quasi Hail Mary pass at the end of the game, but. It was a pretty blatant hold, so at the very least, that's a proper call.
Yeah, Johns Hopkins beat Mary Hardin-Baylor to advance to the semifinals 17-10. We talked about Susquehanna. Mount Union, one-time perennial power, and they appear to be back. And then, of course, North Central of Illinois, they get a big win.
Yeah, so North Central then will face Susquehanna, and Mount Union will host Johns Hopkins. Mount Union and Johns Hopkins have played this deep in the playoffs before. Johns Hopkins out of Baltimore, you know, the famous school with the famous medical school. I'll be honest with you. Mount Union looks really good here over the course of the past several weeks. DJ DeShields came in at quarterback for these guys after their starting quarterback got hurt late in the regular season. DeShields has been a longtime backup. He's a senior. He's kind of coming into his own. But Tyler Echeverry is the big story there. They always have a really good running back at Mount Union, and he is the guy right now. He had three touchdowns today, two touchdown runs and a touchdown catch. And they did a pretty good job against the Salisbury kind of spread option offense that had given a lot of other teams fits this year. So Mount Union defense looks solid. Mount Union offense looks solid. And I would say we're looking fairly solid, although I don't want to predict right now, that we'd probably see a rematch of that 2022 Stag Bowl, which was between North Central and Mount Union.
All right. Well, Pat, we appreciate your coverage of Division III at D3Football.com. And as always, thanks for joining us this season.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me on this year. Appreciate it.
All right. Pat Coleman joining us. Update on MCS. Regional team still alive. It's gone final in Fargo. North Dakota State beat Mercer 31-7. South Dakota State earlier beat Incarnate Word and Brookings big 55-14. South Dakota winner in Vermilion, they beat UC Davis 35-21. Montana State took down Idaho 52-19. And the semifinals are set in FCS. And then, of course, on to the championship. And it is a final. Navy upset Army today in Landover, Maryland today. Annapolis, not far away from the home of the Washington Commanders. Navy rolls over Army 31-13. Number 22 Army now 11-2, Navy 9-3. So Navy in that annual rivalry gets the big win today, 31-13. A couple other items. Wild win big on home ice, beating the Flyers 4-1 in a matinee in St. Paul. To help us forget the blowout loss to the Oilers the other night in St. Paul. Timberwolves are at idle. They're in San Antonio getting ready for a game tomorrow night with the Spurs. Don't forget Vikes Idol. We mentioned that. They will play the Bears Monday Night Football. And then at Seattle, home to Green Bay, close it out in Detroit. And the question really looms. Will that final game of the regular season be meaningful? it'll be a fun finish, though. Once again, Bears, very winnable. We know where the Bears are at. Cellar Dwellers struggling. They've already fired their coach. They have a first-year quarterback. It's the Bears. But beyond that, at Seattle, home to Green Bay, at Detroit, tough finish for the Purple. When we come back, the Wild in the spotlight. Jez Spires will join from the Pioneer Press, talk the big win here on News Talk. 830 WCCO. I think it is fair to say the Wild right the ship today after the Leon Draisaitl show at the X the other night. Oilers win a beatdown 7-1. They come back. They beat the Flyers in a matinee in St. Paul 4-1 today. Kirill Kaprizov answers the bell. The Flower, Marc-Andre Fleury, a good day in net. And Jess Myers joins us from the Pioneer Press. This helps erase what happened to the Oilers.
Well, you know, since they played Philadelphia, why don't I use a quote from Rocky Balboa? It's not about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. And that's been the theme of this Minnesota Wild team all season, Steve. They are the only team in the NHL that has not lost back-to-back games in regulation. They lose a game, which is rare. They haven't lost many, but when they do lose a game, they come back, and they come back real strong. And this one was a little sloppy at times. It was kind of reflective of the weather outside. It was, some not great plays. They got a huge save early from Marc-Andre Fleury, just one of those highlight reel, flashing the leather glove saves when it looked like a puck was wired for the back of the net. And that, you could tell, maybe deflated the Flyers a little bit. Of course, we asked John Tortorella about that afterwards, and of course, with his typical level of maturity, he said, "I don't want to talk about Minnesota. I'm here to answer questions about my team."
Okay.
You know, such a fun guy, such a confident pro, and I say that tongue in cheek, obviously.
Yeah, a great fit for Philly.
Yeah, absolutely. kind of surly, kind of grumpy, kind of fits in well with the fan base there. But a good win for this team. And I tell you, all season it seems like we've been talking about injuries. Today we finally got some good news. Jonas Brodin comes back, and Matt Zuccarello comes back, and they've both been out, 8 games in one case or 9 games in one case, and 13 games in another case. Yeah. Zuccarello, we haven't seen him in a month since that, just lousy injury he had, and he talked about that a little bit today, just about how good it was to be back. So team's getting a little healthier, and maybe things are kind of looking up here, but a good bounce back win.
Yeah, and no rest for the weary. They get right back at it in St. Paul, the Vegas Golden Knights in town. And this may be the greatest expansion team in the history of sport. What they did out of the gate and the success they've had. And I know the NHL, they spent a lot of money to get a club, and they stocked them up. But they've made brilliant moves, and it's just been a magical run since day one in Vegas.
Yeah, imagine, Steve, if you and I had been talking, let's say, 10 years ago, and we would have said, 10 years from now, there's going to be a team in Las Vegas, and it'll have gone to the Stanley Cup Finals twice, and it'll have won the Cup at one point. It just seems amazing to me, but credit what they've done there, and it's really neat to see, a place like Las Vegas, which, let's face it, it's a tourist town. Is a place where people go to have a good time. You think of, there's nobody really lives there. Nobody's from there, but they've really embraced a hockey team. And hey, it's been easy to embrace winning a Stanley Cup in your first, 5-6 years of having a team. So good for them and good for the league. And they're a very good team again this year. We keep thinking the other shoe's going to drop and just, they're going to run out of players and run out of luck. But luck is what it's all about in Las Vegas, I guess.
Well, and the thing is about this franchise, which is great, you've got the A's moving from Oakland, the Raiders have moved there, the NBA will show up at some point in time in Vegas, is the people that live and work in town have embraced this team because it is their team. It was born in Vegas, where the Raiders, it's kind of like, they were in L.A., they were in Oakland a couple of times, and a lot of California people come to town. But this is their club, and that's been cool to see it, and they've had a lot of success. It's really great, great sports story.
Yeah, I'll be honest, too. I kind of thought when they said, okay, we're going to put an NHL team in Vegas, I thought, okay, this will be a tourist attraction. It'll be like... Like the Arizona Coyotes were, where you go into the rink and it's half fans of the Edmonton Oilers or the Minnesota Wild or whatever team happens to be visiting. And certainly, it's a destination. Wild fans go out to Vegas and, visiting fans, hey, let's go to Las Vegas. We'll gamble a couple days. We'll see some shows. We'll go see a Wild game. You definitely do see that part of it. But this really is No, Nevada's team. This is Las Vegas's team, and that's become kind of a cool thing too. Kind of the first, like you say, the first team of their own that they can hang their hat on.
Yeah, good stuff. Back to the Wild and what they have ahead. Finally, some home cooking, and they've been so good on the road, and it's been such a magical start to the season. You know, this still feels like an important homestand for them where, you know, forget the beatdown loss to the Oilers. They got to win over the Flyers, and, you know, it's kind of hold serve on home ice and get some points.
It's funny when you talk to the players about, you know, why have you been so good on the road? The answer is pretty simple. They've had to be good on the road because they've been on the road so much. You know, you look at the end of October, I think it was like seven straight games that they were away from home. So, you know, if they're not good on the road, they're not going to be a good team. And they learned how to win with the distractions, away from all of that at that point. And it's just kind of carried over. And, really fun to see different guys stepping up and guys kind of redeeming themselves. You know, you mentioned Kirill Kaprizov. He has two goals tonight. He has an empty net goal. Again, he leads the NHL with six empty net goals. And people kind of scoff at empty net goals. But as I said to Matthew Coller the other day when we talked, here's what empty net goals generally do. They generally win the game for you. They're generally the clincher. So scoff at an empty netter all you want, but it generally means, hey, we just won the game because this guy popped it into an empty net. And John Hines talked about this after the game is, you know, 30 minutes after practice is over, 40 minutes after practice is over, Kirill Kaprizov is still out on the ice practicing, you know, shooting from along the goal line, practicing shooting from the far blue line into an empty net, you know, and they said it's kind of a catch-22. Hey, we want him rested. We want him ready to go. But this is a guy who just doesn't ever want to leave the ice because he's always got one more thing he wants to work on. And, man, you're seeing the results of it with what he does game in and game out on the ice for the Wild.
I would assume tomorrow in the 5 o'clock game with the Golden Knights, Gus will be in after getting shelled by the Oilers. And you hate to say, it's still December, but I'm sure he can hardly wait to get back out there.
Yeah, you know the way goalies are and the way they're competitive. You know, if you have a bad game there's nothing you want to do more than forget about it and get back out there and redeem yourself. And I'll tell you this, Steve, a fun kind of redemption story that we saw kind of play its way out on the ice tonight. Matt Boldy, for whatever reason, has been spending a lot of time in the penalty box lately, and he's not happy about it. He's gotten two penalties in Utah. He got two penalties against Edmonton. Second period today, he gets a penalty, and you could see he was kind of hanging his head on the way to the penalty box. He doesn't like spending 2 minutes by himself too often. The Wild penalty kill has not been good. That's been an Achilles heel, although they hung a zero tonight. Well, Matt Boldy gets out of the penalty box. A few minutes later, he gets a long lead pass from Brock Faber, and he scores a breakaway goal. And you could see psychologically for him, that was just a big moment, a big lift to say, hey, you know what? I spent a little time in the penalty box, but I'm well rested and I'm helping my team win.
Well, Jazz, always great. Thanks so much for the time. I understand a little holiday fun for you tonight away from the
rain. getting together with some friends and hopefully getting on a bus here and seeing some holiday lights and a little bit of revelry. You know, I love my time at the rink, but fun to get out and get in the holiday spirit as well.
Yeah, there's some people put in a ton of work to these lights, light displays. Not far from where I live, this house has an amazing display. I don't know if I should throw out the address or publicize it, but a tip of the cap. They went all out. It's phenomenal.
You love to see that. Fun stuff. I love it. Yep.
All right. Happy holidays, Jazz. It's always great.
Always good to talk to you. Take care, Steve.
All right. There he is, Jazz Myers, Pioneer Press, covers Wild 4-1 win over the Flyers today. And once again, Golden Knights in town at 5 o'clock tomorrow, and they are a very good hockey club. And Philip Gustafson will have his hands full as the homestand continues. Florida in Wednesday, the Utah Hockey Club on Friday, quick trip to Winnipeg, then the Blackhawks in here on the 23rd. So a lot of home games. Once again, that winter weather advisory winding down. Take care on the roads. Fog overnight, dense fog advisory. Please drive safely. Big thanks to Lindsey Brown, our producer. Big thanks to all our guests joining us on the program. Don't forget the Sports Huddle, Pete Najeri and Dave Schwartz, between 10 and noon tomorrow, right here on News Talk 830 WCCO.